Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. It depends the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. It's Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Ian Cameron will step up, and then we're running through all the NFL numbers and stuff, get you caught up to date with the playoff picture, which we pretty much have for the most part. So, guys, the way it sets up right now, the Chargers and Raiders are the 7 and 8 seed right now, and the winner is in, right? The winner is in, and then you get the Pittsburgh Steelers, who the Pittsburgh Steelers control their own destiny here. If the Steelers beat the Cleveland Browns tomorrow and then they go into to Baltimore and win next week, the Pittsburgh Steelers would get in to the playoffs. The Raiders have put themselves in a position, which is amazing, after everything that they've been through here. But the Chargers are not. The Chargers are not going to be an easy team to beat. We talked about the Rams. The Rams beat the 49ers and they win the NFC West. If the 49ers lose and the Saints win, then the Saints are going to get into the playoffs, right? And the Saints are playing the Falcons. Yeah, that won't be easy. I know you think, oh, they'll win for sure and stuff, but it actually won't be. It's just one of those rivalries over the years, like going back forever, man, that they always just screw each other up. Like the underdog always seems, the worst team always seems to win when those teams play. So we'll break down. Ian Cameron will step up, and then it was discussing Georgia up to 3. Right now, the Green Bay Packers. So the Green Bay Packers wrap up the top seed right now. The money just keeps coming in on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Listen, before the year started, we told you guys we like San Francisco. We like Green Bay to come out of the NFC. And quite frankly, I don't see anybody beating Green Bay in the NFC. You're going to have to go to Green Bay. And if you guys have noticed, right, in past years, over the last couple of years, weather has never been a factor in the playoffs, right? Like with global warming and climate change and all this type of stuff, it really is true. The weather has been whacked out. Remember, like there was a Super Bowl in New York, it wasn't even cold. Like I was watching a Raven game today with the Rams and the Ravens, and man, there were people who were just wearing football jerseys. They weren't even wearing jackets. It's like New Year's, it's like you're in January in Baltimore, right? But with that being stated, You look at some of the weather that's popping up. It's like very, very random, man. It's either like really nice somewhere or it's like viciously cold. You saw how cold it was in Green Bay. Put it this way. What are the chances it's going to be nice in Green Bay 3 weeks from now? Right? Not very. And that's when they're going to be playing at home and stuff. And you're going to be rolling in there. And you look at the teams. Let's look at the teams in the NFC. And I know Tampa went in there and did it before. That was Tom Brady. Do you believe the Rams are going to go into an ice-cold, like, Thundra at Lambeau and beat these guys? Are the Dallas Cowboys? Are the Arizona Cardinals? The San Francisco 49ers? You see what I'm saying? It sets up pretty nicely for the Green Bay Packers. They're on a freaking roll right now, this team, man. I don't see anybody beating them. The Late Night Anger Management Class. It's level 2. Let's do this thing. What's up, San Diego? The Mightier 1090. I am Gabriel Morency. We're throwing it down on SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're crunching some numbers here, man, as we've got Super Bowl futures that have been posted, of course, updated conference championship odds, and Green Bay's number has just been dropping, like the temperature there in Green Bay as of late. And right now, it's all the way down to plus 170 right now to win the NFC Conference Championship. Green Bay Packers plus 170. They're going to have home field, so they got to win two football games only. Now, they've been down this path before, and it's a lot sort of it's very similar to Georgia, actually. Like, if you look at Matt LaFleur, man, Matt LaFleur's been unbelievable. Matt LaFleur keeps going, like, 13-3, and he's just putting up these massive, like, numbers and stuff. And he's done a great job. And here they are again at 13-3. Now they've clinched the, you know, they've clinched the top seed right now. So they just need to win two games. And if you look at the NFC, most of these teams are not built to go on the road in freezing weather and win. You know, if we go one by one, the Rams, Matt Stafford played in Detroit for years. So Matt Stafford actually, Matt Stafford's not a terrible cold weather quarterback, actually. So one, we'll give him credit for that. You look, you know, it wasn't that cold in Baltimore today. You know, he got it done late. But I'm just stating, Matt Stafford has won games before, like in bad weather with the Lions. So at least Matt Stafford's used to playing in bad weather. Odell is used to playing in bad weather, right? But with that being stated, I don't know. I don't think anybody can beat Green Bay. I just don't in the NFC. You're going to have to go in there, and they only got to win two games right now. So, as you know, the Rams are a good team, but I don't see them being able to go into Green Bay and beat them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers did it last year, but the Buccaneers also had Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Antonio Brown last year. They don't now. Right? They don't. The wheels are falling off for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've got defensive issues. They can't stop the pass. Their defense has leaks. You know, I mean, they'll, you know, listen, they got Tom Brady, so they'll be able to shake off this Antonio Brown thing, but basically they're running out of bodies. It's easier for other teams to defend them right now without Godwin and now without Antonio Brown moving forward. The Cowboys are flaky. Arizona are hit or miss. San Francisco just aren't good enough. Neither are Philadelphia. Green Bay are going to the Super Bowl. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babana, will step up and in a couple of moments and join us. There's just 1 week left of regular season play in the National Football League. And I really wanted to start pulling the trigger on some futures last week. You know, we actually just got paid for a bunch of futures again. Which, I don't want to complain about getting money, but I really wanted to get paid all at once for everything. I really did. I wanted to get everything at once, all these futures, just to sort of add it all up. So it's they're sort of sputtering in here right now, all these future picks. But we cashed today. We just got, what did we just get paid for? We got paid for Jacksonville under 3.5. And we already won the original Jacksonville bet. I doubled down on it. It's the one thing that I really like this year about the National Football League. And we've had it before. I think they did it last year as well, but they haven't done it like it's they didn't do it in the old days, so put it that way. Regular season win totals, like, updated all the way through the season. And we cashed pretty well. We did great with the NFL futures, and we absolutely crushed it. Like, there weren't very many we lost. Like, the NFL, we dominated the NFL futures. College football was like 50-50. Yeah, you know I mean, we won some, we lost some. We won a little bit more than we lost. But we just got paid for the Denver Broncos under 8.5, Jacksonville under 3.5. I've got another Houston play here. I've got another Houston play. Houston Texans under 4.5. This is a big play here, too, for a nickel. And they're at four right now, except I don't think they're going to win next week. We should be able to cash that one as well. And I'm kind of disappointed because, like, what you know what I mean? There's not a lot of futures to bet on right now after this, after football. Now, fortunately, we've got a bunch of football futures we can bet, playoff futures. So we're going to have to try to cash somebody's playoff futures. And I, like we said, I'm not a big hedger, but at the same point in time, it's not really about hedging because I never hedge. It's just good to do it. Look, like a good example is I've got Alabama, right? I put like $260 or something on Alabama to win the title at plus 280, whatever it pays, like $1,000. I think it was like 260 or 270 to win $1,000 at the time. So I've got a dime on Bama now, and I don't really want to hedge, but I could. Right, I could just put a couple of $100. You know, I could bet on Georgia now if I wanted. But I'm, you know, as far as the NFL, you're better off doing it and putting yourself in a nice situation. Because ideally, what you want is you want to end up with both teams, right? You want to end up with both teams in the future. I nearly pulled it off with Michigan and Alabama. I had Michigan at 50-1 and Alabama at 3-1. Didn't happen. And now I got Alabama still. So now, and I'm kicking myself because I've known Green Bay is the best team in the NFL right now. They just are. I mean, they're winning easily. They're not even really being tested. Devontae Adams is a monster. They've got a two-headed rushing attack. Their offensive line is going to get healthier now that they've got the bye week and they're going to have time off to set everything up. They're only going to have to win two games. They've been here before two times. Right, I mean, they lost to San Francisco. They lost to they lost to Tampa Bay. This, you know, it feels like this is it. This is their time. Their defense makes plays. I think the weather is going to be viciously cold. So the Super Bowl is six weeks from tonight. So I was thinking about this. The Super Bowl is 6 weeks from tonight. So that means that the conference championship games are 1 month from tonight. Right, because there's a bye before the Super Bowl. So we're 1 month. 1 month from tonight, we'll know who's in the Super Bowl. It's actually quite a long run still. Right? Like, that's what I'm saying. It feels like it's at the end, but there's still NFL. There's still money to be made in the NFL here. But we're starting. This is it. Like, the futures, we sort of missed out on this stuff a little bit for the NFL futures. I was so obsessed with the regular season win totals that I wasn't pulling the trigger for the Super Bowl picks. But you've kind of lost the value now with Green Bay. Listen, Green Bay are like 4-1. They're 4-1, except it just dropped to 380. It's popping around, right? It's popping around. People are starting to bet this stuff now, right? I mean, people bet this in the overnight hours, like us. So the numbers, it's a fluid market right now, the future market. Numbers are jumping around on a couple of the teams. So Green Bay, I mean, what's their weakness? Like, is there anything? Oh, they're going to do this. They're going to do that. You know, Crosby's a little shaky. They're field goal kicking, but whatever, dude. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football right now. It's more than just Devontae Adams. You see with Lazard. And the thing with Green Bay is they've always had injuries, and they still just kick your ass. And now they're really going to be able to get healthy. They can sit everybody next week. The game doesn't matter to them. They've clinched the top seed. And then they're going to get another week off. So basically the Packers are off for 2 weeks. 2 weeks is like 2 years in football. You know how refreshed their bodies are going to be in 2 weeks right now? It's just they've just got to close the deal. Aaron Rodgers seems to have a chip on his shoulder as well. And, you know, it's part of it. I get it. Look, it's working for him. We'll put it this way. Look, Aaron Rodgers says a lot of things and stuff like that that upset everybody every week on McAfee's show. But it's refreshing at least that, you know what I mean, that a pro athlete, especially a star athlete, actually speaks openly. You know, you don't have to agree with what he says, but he's speaking openly about things. But you see that it always sort of comes back to the same thing. Oh, you know, you try to cancel me and this and that and the COVID stuff. Aaron Rodgers definitely has a chip on his shoulder to stick it to everybody, right? And he's on a mission. And it just appears like the Packers are on a mission right now. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, But I think they're getting there. And I told you guys before the year started, I said, I think San Francisco or Green Bay are going to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And here we are right now. So, look, if you get Green Bay in a plus 400 range, they only need to win two games. They're going to be favored in both their home games. They won't be massively favored because they're going to be playing against good teams. But as I stated earlier, if you look at the teams, and when last year the weather wasn't that bad. I want to look at the long-range weather forecast, actually, right now for Green Bay. Because I was, you know, we've talked about this, looking at the almanac and looking at weather reports for the upcoming winter. It's going to be a cold winter everywhere. It's going to be a cold winter everywhere. So I wouldn't be surprised if it is very nasty weather. Let's see. I'm trying to get a 28-day forecast here. Yeah, monthly. Let's go, Weather Network. All right, monthly, Green Bay. And the page is empty. Thank you very much. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for nothing, Weather Network. Tells me, yeah, 28-day forecast. They only really want to go in the 14 days. I'll tell you what, it's cold, all right? It's cold all the time, and it's going to get colder there. So I'm just saying, if you look at the teams, you look at the teams in the NFC, none of these teams are really built for this. You know what I mean? Like the LA Rams. Do you trust the LA Rams to go into like frozen like temperatures and win this game? The Dallas Cowboys. Do you trust the Cowboys to go on the road? Then the Cowboys won't even get that far, but you know what I mean? I don't. I don't trust Arizona and Kyler Murray to go in there and beat Aaron Rodgers in the freezing cold. I don't think Philadelphia can. I mean, I guess you can make an argument Tampa Bay just because they have Tom Brady and whatever. He just seems to find a way no matter what. But Tom Brady, man, he got a lot of injuries. The AFC is a little trickier, right? You can make the argument that KC is still the team to beat even though they lost today. But we'll get into this with Babana. We'll crunch some AFC numbers. The Bengals aren't getting a lot of love still. And you can make an argument that there's value on the Bengals still right now. But as far as the NFC is concerned, I don't see how the Packers aren't going to the Super Bowl. Bring it!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the Babanos, and everybody else in between. Ian Cameron steps up and in for the first time in 2022. Babano, Happy New Year, Babano. Thank you for joining us. How you doing?
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, Gabe, and Happy New Year to the entire Sports Grid viewing and listening audience. Hope it's a great year ahead.
Well, hopefully there's a lot of winners ahead for all of us. It was another wild day of football today in the National Football League, especially at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands, and kind of lost in the AB story was actually that the Jets nearly won that football game and did cover, but it was a little bit of everything today. We've had some unders, we've had some overs, we've had underdogs cover, we've had favorites absolutely smoke the underdogs, the Detroit Lions. I got massacred in Seattle, but the Jets did cover. The Denver Broncos season comes to an end with the loss, but it sets up a pretty big card next week. But Bano, final week of play next week in the National Football League, and we've got the Monday Nighter, in which there's been a ton of live movement.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of everything in terms of the betting results for me today. I mean, we had some great bets today, like the over in the Bengals-Chiefs game, which was a thoroughly entertaining game. The Titans bet was a great bet. And then we had some awful bets, like betting the Lions and betting the Giants. I don't know what got into me betting the Giants. I mean, I just should have stayed away from that.
I was on the Lions. I was on the Lions, but not the Giants. And we all make mistakes. Listen, I took the Broncos today, but Babano, they got smoked, too.
Well, the reason to take the Broncos was, could you trust the Chargers laying almost a touchdown? Apparently, today was the day you could. But Vic Fangio's got to be gone. I mean, I saw Dave Koken tweeting about that. I saw a few other people saying, this has got to be it for Vic Fangio. And I'm thinking it will be. I mean, I think there's going to be a change coming in Denver.
Yeah, well, there's so much talk all the time about changing the quarterback, right? And not so much talking about changing the coach. But I think it's a discussion that needs to be made as well, especially if you're bringing in a new, and you're going to bring in a high profile quarterback. Denver's got to decide what they want to do. Are they playing for Super Bowls? And, you know, normally they are. It is a big time, big brand. They've got money. They're a very successful franchise. They've got to do better. It's got to be better. You can't just keep rolling out Drew Lock and stuff like this. It's just, it's, and as you stated with Vic Fangio, I don't know what would be different next year with Vic Fangio, right? You could argue, well, if you got a star quarterback yet, you know, if you've got a star quarterback, do you really want Fangio as the guy? Do you really want the, you know, the new quarterback just to carry this? But they definitely have to make some changes in Denver.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And John Elway, we're still waiting on him to finally hit a winner, I guess, if you will, with the quarterback selections with this franchise. That has been an issue, too. Like, John Elway deserves some blame, too. I mean, let's, it's one
thing.
Well,
he does. Always, yeah. He's not in control anymore, though. He's not, like, before he was in complete control, now he isn't. No. There's other people in the room now because he did get it wrong so many times, right? But at some point, I mean, it's amazing, as you stated. Well, they won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, so I think that's why they feel they're going to go that route again. And there will be, I think there'll be a few veteran quarterbacks out there. Except, whatever, let's say they get Kirk Cousins or something like that. Is that really, you know what I mean? How much of an upgrade is that? They've got to make that decision. And do they want to go after Deshaun Watson? But it sets up the Chargers and the Raiders. And we were talking about the Raiders earlier in the program, Abano, and to me, this is one of the crazy stories of the year in the National Football League. The Raiders are still alive somehow right now.
Can't kill this team.
No, and here they are playing for a playoff spot, winning their end. It's as clear-cut as it gets. And against the Chargers of all teams, who, you know, the Chargers and the Raiders have been rivals for a long time, man. And it's all, dude, it's heated when these teams play in the preseason and stuff. So now you've actually got a playoff spot on the line. That's going to be some big-time stuff right there.
Yeah, you've got to think that now week 18 next week, they're doing for the first time ever a Saturday doubleheader on ESPN. So ESPN's going to have two games next Saturday, and they're going to be games. The part of the contract agreement that the NFL made with ESPN for this was that they'd be playoff implication games, both of them. There'd be either division on the line, home field advantage on the line, a bye week on the line, or, of course, a playoff spot. So maybe you see Raiders Chargers in one of those Saturday games. I'm sure Sunday Night Football, NBC might be interested in having that as their finale. But it'll be interesting to see where that game is slotted. I know ESPN's going to use Fowler and Herb Street to call one of the two games next Saturday while the MNF crew does the other. But it'll be, I would think the Raiders and the Chargers are going to get one of those primetime slots, either one of the two games on Saturday or the Sunday night football game when you're talking about a win and in playoff situation like that.
Yeah, well, San Francisco and the Rams is a big-time game. There's a couple of them. There's a couple. Listen, the Rams in San Francisco, that's a massive game with big-time ramifications. The Chargers and the Raiders, that's very simple. Arizona is also playing for something here. There's quite a few games with pretty big time, you know, implications. You know, like if Arizona win and the Rams lose, Arizona win the title. So Arizona are coming to play, right? Arizona will be coming to play. The Buffalo Bills, if the Bills beat the Jets, they win the division in the AFC East. The Colts are trying to wrap up a playoff spot, but fortunately for them, they get the Jacksonville Jaguars next week. So a lot of big time implications next week, Babano. And speaking of the Raider game, the Raiders and the Chargers, as it is right now, the Chargers are 3-point favorites. 3-point favorites in Las Vegas, total 48.5, Babano, and they beat them down earlier this year. But it doesn't matter, you know. It's winning you're in for either team here right now. As good as the Raiders have been, I understand why the Chargers are favorites.
Yes,
and. And I've been on the Raiders. You know, it's one team the Raiders have been pretty good to me this year. I've kind of figured them out. And I believed in them when no one else has. But, you know, it feels like this is the right point spread. And the Raiders are one of these teams, Ben. They don't really have a home field advantage, right? They haven't, you know. But it'll be interesting to see if Charger fan also rolls into Vegas right now, because that's the deal. It's usually like it feels like a bowl game. It's like 50-50 or something at Raider games. But as it is now, the Raiders are getting 3 points on their home field.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good. No, I think I took the Chargers when they played during the regular season, these two teams. I like the Chargers in that game. I do think they're better than Las Vegas. I think I would lean Chargers as long as it stays put at 3. I don't know if again, with the Chargers laying more than a field goal, that changes everything, because this team seems to play a lot of close games until today with Denver. But Denver's was, you know, a mess. With Drew Lock just wasn't playing well. I think this is going to be a tough game. And look, I underestimated Las Vegas a little bit today. Now, I didn't lay the points with the Colts today, but I did have the Colts team total over. And the more I thought about it, as I saw that game progress, I'm like, it was probably a silly bet for me to make because he had Carson Wentz out of protocol all week. He really was out of the practice field all week long because of the protocol situation and didn't feel like that Colts team was in sync for much of the game.
Due for a flat spot, the Colts. Yeah. They're coming off the big win in Arizona. They've been killing everybody, right? It's like, Are you really going to win every week? You sort of run into that wall a little bit. And let's not forget, John Madden passed away this week and is a Raider, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They had that little extra bump. They just find a way to get motivated every week. They find a way. It really is amazing, though, if you think about it with the Raiders. I mean, who are their wide receivers? Renfro and Zay Jones? Darren Waller's been hurt.
They both played great today. Both of those guys making big catches down the field for Derek Carr.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's really unbelievable what they've done with the players that they have and the players that they don't have there, that they just keep finding a way that they put themselves in this position. And speaking of the big line movement, Bano, there was big line movement, and I knew it was going to happen, and we were on earlier in-game live, and we noticed that the Cleveland Browns were eliminated from the playoffs, yet the point spread was still 3 for Monday Night Football. And I said, man, this number, get in on this right now. I said, this number's not going to stay at 3 right now. The Pittsburgh Steelers are still alive. The Steelers, the Steelers win, and they're going into next week still alive. The Cleveland Browns are officially eliminated from the playoffs. And it's interesting, the Browns were 3-point favorites, Babano, and there's been a 4-point swing right now, all the way to Pittsburgh -1, which I think might be a little bit of an overreaction, like in the sense that that's a big point spread swing. Yet there's two ways of looking at it. Cleveland, Pittsburgh lead the game. And don't forget, Cleveland beat Pittsburgh up in the playoffs last year as well. So in Pittsburgh, right? So this is a massive game for Pittsburgh and everything. And you can look at it like, wow, Cleveland aren't going to care and the wheels are just going to fall off for them. Or maybe they just play loose, Babano, right? And they can just go for it. They can do whatever they want, and it doesn't matter. They're already eliminated. I kind of tend to think, though, that there'd be more negativity around the Browns. Like, you know what I mean, Babano? If you were like sort of a bad team or there wasn't big expectations and you got eliminated, you can show up the next week. You know what I mean? It's like, well, no one ever really thought we were winning the Super Bowl anyways, right, on the team. Like, you know, but if you're the Browns, there was pretty high expectations, man. And you spent a lot of money, you brought a lot of guys in, and you're not even alive, man, with 2 weeks left right now. I don't know how up they're going to get for this game right now, Babano, and especially the Steelers are going to be really fired up, except you and I both know just because a team needs to win a game doesn't mean they will.
That's absolutely true. And I actually have +3.5 with Pittsburgh, and I locked it in because I knew I was going to be on that side. I had no thought at the time that, whoa, Cleveland's going to get knocked out from playoff contention on Sunday with the Chargers winning and this line's going to move. I just said it's gotten too far, all the Cleveland line move. Because remember, this was Cleveland or Pittsburgh pick 'em at the beginning with Cleveland, and then all the Cleveland money came in early last week, all the way up to -3.5 with all the news that they'd be a lot healthier, getting a lot of guys back. And then all of a sudden, the Pittsburgh money comes in today with Cleveland being knocked out. I do like Pittsburgh here, though. They played good at home. Their best football's been played at Heinz Field.
This could be Ben Roethlisberger's last home game, but Bano, as well. They're on the road next week.
That, too. And for Cleveland, you think of not only the disappointment of missing the playoffs, but the stuff that's been going on in the locker room, the Odell Beckham stuff, which led to his dismissal. COVID and injuries have just beaten up this team for the last few weeks and pretty much all season. Is there anything left in this team in terms of the gas tank for a game like this to play spoiler? I'm sure there's part of them that wants to, you know, be a thorn in Pittsburgh's side. But I think the Steelers here, they will overcome that and find a way. And I think their run game can work here against Cleveland.
No, I think the Steelers will find a way as well. But the thing is, as we stated, if a team needs to win at this time of the year, it means they're not great in the first place. And Pittsburgh will be under a lot of pressure because they're still alive, and it's a fine line for them. They need to win.
Know what this will be? This will be like Pittsburgh versus Tennessee a few weeks ago, where I was on the Steelers. It was a sweat. Yeah. It was right down to the wire, but they found a way.
More of a battle on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're breaking it down with Ian Cameron right now.
1 week left of regular season play in the National Football League, and then the playoffs are upon us. Some interesting matchups, you know, some multiple games with playoff ramifications. But we were talking about the Monday nighter with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you know, man, just what a line move there has been there. From it was at 3 earlier in the day this evening, guys. Like I said, if you tuned in earlier to SiriusXM channel 159, me and Joe Neri were breaking it down, and I said, man, it's not going to remain 3. And the swing has begun. The Pittsburgh Steelers are actually 1-point favorites on Monday Night Football. And then Pittsburgh going to Baltimore to wrap the season up. So as far as other games, big-time games next week, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns was supposed to be a big game, but Bano suddenly becomes a meaningless game as the Bengals have wrapped up. I mean, the Bengals have won their division. And now Cleveland, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, Cleveland are 3-point favorites in that game already right now, but they're 1-point underdogs against the Steelers. We're really getting into the mind games right now with the odds makers.
A great game, by the way, Cincinnati and Kansas City in the AFC North. For Cincinnati, I should say, wrapping up the AFC North with that win over the Kansas City Chiefs. Great win for them. You saw the celebration in the locker room with Joe Burrow. But now playing this game against Cleveland, what have they got left in them? That was like one of the biggest wins the franchise has had in many, many years. How are they going to respond for week 18, I should say, finale against Cleveland? You know what I think I might look at from a betting standpoint? Because I don't think I'm going to want to take Cleveland. I'm not sure I'm going to want to back the Bengals after the kind of win they had against KC either. Maybe a loose atmosphere and just think points can be scored. The total's reasonable, 44. Cincinnati was gone over than 2 straight. Their offense is tough to stop. Maybe Cleveland against the Cincinnati defense that, you know, they gave up some points against the Chiefs in that game Sunday. And even if Keenum starts by chance, I don't know, say he will.
Well, that's the thing. And Burrow might not play either, but that could mean that the backups actually try and play and put points on the board. You're right. Like, the thing is, right now, guys, let's be real. It's incredibly hard to handicap these games right now in a final week.
Oh, yeah, these are all initial thoughts, just gut reaction.
Like, we don't know what the lineups are going to be. Who knows? Like, last week, guys, they often say, you know what, let's let the starting quarterback play, right? Let the backup quarterback play. Starting quarterback sits. I don't know. Some teams have clinched. So let's see how it plays out. And there's going to be a lot of talk about the quarterback situation here with San Francisco. So they're getting 5.5 against the Rams. And, of course, so Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play today. Trey Lance did. He struggled in the first half, but then he just tore it apart in the second. He looked great in the second half.
It's because they rolled out the quarterback in the second half and let him, you know, shift the pocket, flow the defenders to one side, and it opened up things down the field because all the defenders rushed to the line of scrimmage. It was actually a good design by the Niners. They made adjustments at halftime. Well done by them.
Well, the kid only played one game of Bano so far this year, right? He needed to get, you know, he's not just going to come in and he hasn't played in forever and just light it up right away. So after he got a couple of quarters under his belt, he started rolling a little bit. Yet, without being stated, you know, people are asking me on Twitter, there's been talk, Jimmy G is going to beat a quarterback, I would imagine. Like, if Jimmy G can play this week.
If he can play, he'll play. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so because Trey, it's a little bit different playing against the Houston Texans at home than it is right now going on the road against the Los Angeles Rams. And in this spot, so the Rams are 5.5-point favorites, total 44.5 right now, Babano. And the Rams win this game, they win the division. San Francisco win the game, and they're the wild card. They clinch a playoff spot. San Francisco aren't like, they've got problems, actually. Like, if they don't win this game, and New Orleans beat Atlanta, New Orleans passed skip San Francisco.
Yes.
So this is a must win for the San Francisco 49ers as well. So you got one team playing for the division, yet knows they're in the playoffs, and now you got another team that's playing to get into the playoffs right now. And San Francisco have won 5 straight games against the Rams, actually, as well. Getting 5.5 points right now, but Bano, I'm not positive who the quarterback is going to be, but I think it's going to be Jimmy G.
Yeah, it's going to be Jimmy G. You know what? I got
burned. If he's healthy enough to play.
If he's healthy enough. I'd have to lean Niners now, regardless of whether it's Trey Lance or whether it's Jimmy G. I mean, I got burned by trusting the Rams to end the the hex that the Niners had over them earlier this year. Remember Monday Night Football and the Rams, or the 49ers rather, were terrible at the time. They were injury riddled at the time. They weren't playing good, and the Rams were rolling going into that game, and the Rams played terrible in that game against the Niners. The Niners are legitimately a matchup nightmare for the Rams. The 49ers have proven to be that against this Rams team. So for me, it's tough to lay points with the Rams given that series history and given what's at stake here for this San Francisco team. And especially when you see New Orleans, Gabe, having to play Atlanta, you got to come in here thinking we got to win this game if you're the Niners. When
but Saints Atlanta always beats them. That's a weird rivalry, that rivalry. Those teams, it throw the records out when those teams play each other.
And Atlanta fought against Buffalo today. You got to give them that. They didn't.
They did in the bad weather.
Over. Yeah.
They did in the bad weather.
Yeah.
Once again, the Bills' final score is a little deceptive, actually. Like, the Bills sort of struggled a bit. Their defense was pretty good. But now you see the Bills' point spread, but Bano's minus 17. It's a lot of points. Minus 17 against the Jets. And we saw the Jets were very competitive today. And, you know, the Jets blew the lead late. Brady did his thing again late, but. The thing is, if you're the Jets, you're better off losing anyways, as far as the draft picks are concerned. No. Yeah, listen, I'm a Bills fan, and you know, you saw today what happened against the Atlanta Falcons, in which it was right on the number. I wouldn't lay 17 with the Bills, because don't forget, Babano, the Bills, they don't need to cover anything to win the division, right? Like,
no, they don't.
And they also know they're not going to have a bye week. They're going to be playing the next week. So if they get up and stuff, they have no reason. Like, they could just tap out, right? When they're up by 14 with 10 minutes left, by 8 minutes left, and they'll start running the ball. That back door could be open. You know the Jets are going to be trying in the last game of the year. I think it's too many points.
I know what bet I'm making in that game, and it's the same bet I've made with the New York Jets pretty much every game of theirs for the last 2 months. So that's over the total. I'm still shocked with the Jets that their totals are where they are. They get the Jets totals. Look at these totals for the Jets the last several weeks. 45, 44, 44, 42, 42, 43. It was 45 today, and then it got better.
Yeah, missing out on them, actually. They keep going over every week, yeah.
They keep going over every week because it's one of the worst defenses I've seen in a very long time. I mean, the coverage that they played in the back end with their pass defense on the final drive today, it was like picking cherries for Tom Brady. Going down the field. The coverage on Grayson on the final touchdown that won the game was abysmal. I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, just way too soft in coverage. Can't do that against Tom Brady. It's a horrible defense. I'm shocked that Robert Saleh's let it get to this point with this defense. Maybe he just needs more personnel, better personnel. That's probably part of the problem. But still, you would think this defense would improve a little bit at some point. It just hasn't. They've been trending over. I know the first game, Bills versus Jets, what was it, 45-17, I believe? Bills put up 45 all by themselves in that game. So check the weather. We are talking January 19 outdoors, you know, at MetLife or in Buffalo. But 45, 45 and a half seems very low to me.
New Orleans Saints lay 4.5 with Bano. 4.5 to the Atlanta Falcons right now. And as we stated, so the Saints will be going into this game. Saints are going to be going into this game hoping that the Rams are able to beat the 49ers. That's that scenario right there. San Francisco, as far as San Francisco is concerned, San Francisco can get into the playoffs with a win and a Saints loss or tie. A tie, a Vikings loss, a Saints loss, and a Falcons tie. So like this, basically the 49ers need to win the game. Yeah, that's a bunch of weird scenarios as far as ties and stuff like that are concerned. And I really doubt there's going to be any more ties next week. So it's a must-win game for San Francisco. Getting 5.5, pretty tempting, but we got to know who the quarterback is, right?
We do, but like I said a minute ago with the Niners, it's hard for me to lay the points with the Rams against them, given the 49ers' head-to-head success and Shanahan's success over McVay the last couple of years. I mean, I thought it was set up perfectly for the rolling Rams to beat down the beleaguered 49ers earlier this year, and it couldn't have been further from the truth. The Niners dominated the Rams that night. And that's really the game where Matthew Stafford's recent interception problems, you know, really started in that game. And now all of a sudden, Stafford's been a bit of a turnover machine. Even the win on Sunday against Baltimore, I mean, a bad pick six in the second quarter, a fumble. Just
he's lucky he had that late drive. Otherwise, he'd be really getting called out now. You're right.
Yep, a little bit of bad ball security in the red zone early in the third quarter. Fumble that led to a Baltimore recovery. Good thing Odell Beckham Jr. was there to bail him out on that final drive. He made a couple of big plays. And that's the positive for the Rams of that win. Stafford was erratic, but Beckham finally had made some big-time clutch plays down the stretch. And if they get him and they get Van Jefferson and they get Cooper Kupp, that's a nice little trio they've got now at wide receiver. If Beckham can use that as a springboard to keep his momentum going, because that was the Odell Beckham that the Rams traded for showing up late in that game against Baltimore.
Well, I don't know if you've been watching the Rams a panel. He's got touchdowns in like five of the last six games now. It wasn't just like in this game.
Big time late in the game to win the game, clutch throw, clutch receptions is what
he's much more clutch than Matthew Stafford is. I'll tell you that. That's a fact.
I think you might be right. Yeah.
No, that's a fact. Like when Beckham ran backwards out of bounds to keep the clock going a couple of weeks ago, even Stafford didn't know the rule. Stafford looked all mad and like had a, well, what are you doing? And then he realized, oh, you know the rule better than I do. Right? Like I said, Beckham's a smart dude. And Beckham has saved them, man. Beckham has stepped up big time for them on a couple of occasions over the last month, especially with the injuries that they've had. But I don't trust Matt Stafford either. Like, I just don't. You know what I mean? Like, I think you can dodge a bullet here or there with Stafford. I think with Stafford, you've got to blow the other team out. Like, you know what I mean? You got to show up. Things need to go early, go well, and, you know, go well and early often for you. And you get a lead. You don't have to worry about it. They escaped today. But look, Baltimore have been losing games for the last month like this. So Stafford find a way to do what everybody else has done, and that's beat Baltimore by a point. But I just have a hard time buying in, Babano, in the big picture that the Rams can win 3 weeks in a row in the playoffs. That's the thing, right? It's, you know, but you can say that about a lot of teams, actually. You know, granted, you know, there's a reason now, if you look at the Super Bowl futures, the Green Bay are the favorites, right? They've been just so consistent. Green Bay, plus 400 right now. Kansas City Chiefs are plus 500. Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 750. The Bills 8-1. The Rams are plus 950. Tennessee are 12-1. And you know what I find? Tennessee aren't getting a lot of love, despite the fact they're the one seed right now. And Cincinnati at 18-1 as well.
Yes.
That's interesting that there's not more love for the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, but Ben, look, the Bengals are plus 950 to win the AFC. Like, Kansas City, Buffalo, Tennessee, New England, Indianapolis. I don't think Cincinnati should be the sixth seed, like sixth choice here. Cincinnati are better than New England are right now. Cincinnati are better than the Colts are right now. You know, Cincinnati and Tennessee are dead nut even, in my opinion. Buffalo, I'm a Bills fan. It wouldn't be easy to beat Cincinnati, and we just saw Cincinnati beat Kansas City. I think that's the value pick if you want to look for value at plus 950 right now.
Now, Cincinnati's best game that they can put out there on the field can beat every single one of those teams.
Jamar Chase is unstoppable.
After what I've seen, there's no stopping him. And I've never seen.
And Joe Burrow's a stud, too.
And Joe Burrow's looking like a genius for convincing the brain trust in Cincinnati to draft Jamar Chase over the offensive lineman that's the Bengals were thinking of. I mean, we were saying, Panay Sue, wait a minute, this O-line's a shambles right now. It got Joe Burrow almost decapitated.
And they're good, and they can work on the O-line. All right, listen, we're up against it here right now with Vano. Hanging in here more with Vano on the other side of level three. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Streaming at warning level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Sunday Bloody Sunday. Talking about the Cincinnati Bengals with Urbano. Very impressive performance today. There's just something special about Joe Burrow. We already knew that. Jamar Chase is unbelievable. Unbelievable catches made by Jamar Chase. And the Cincinnati Bengals have something going on here right now. But we should note, the Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1990. Right? So as it is now, and I think the standings are probably going to remain the same here, at least like from six up. From six up. I think Tennessee are going to win. I think KC are going to win. Then you get Cincinnati and Buffalo, which I don't know. Like, I don't know. The Cincinnati, because Cincinnati won't be able to move up, but I don't think Cincinnati are going to want to move down either. Right. I don't think Cincinnati going to want to move down to the four seed and then play the New England Patriots. So as it is right now, they would play the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts would be at Cincinnati. The Colts would be at Cincinnati, which would be a pretty... I would lean with the Bengals in that game, just quite frankly, because I'd rather have Joe Burrow in a big game than Carson Wentz. And I don't know if Jonathan Taylor would be able to single-handedly win this game. I think Indianapolis' health is you know, a big key for these guys. They've been pretty beat up over the last couple of weeks suddenly. But that's the matchup as it is now. But when you look at the odds right now, as we were just discussing with Babano, the Cincinnati Bengals not getting a lot of respect considering how good they actually are. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs are favored to win the AFC. And I think this is on reputation. The Kansas City Chiefs really aren't the best team. They're dangerous, but are you know what I mean? They're not like the runaway, oh, yeah, they're better than everybody. They're dangerous just like everybody else is. Buffalo right now are checking in at plus 350. They're the second choice. Tennessee are the top seed, and they're not getting a lot of love at plus 450 right now. The Patriots, I don't believe in the Patriots. They're plus 750. The Colts, just too flaky to make it all the way. And then you get Cincinnati at plus 950. And Cincinnati will be hosting, at least we know they're hosting a playoff game. Bring it.
Now you can...